It's Friday, June 12th, and you're listening to the Uprise Daily. This is a grassroots effort from activists around the country to compile information about the protests that have been happening in the wake of the police murders of George Floyd and Breonna Taylor. Our work is by no means comprehensive, and it's all done on a volunteer basis. That being said, here's what happened yesterday, Thursday, June 11th. In the California Bay Area in Alameda, a group of about 250 protesters held a peaceful sit-in to call for decreased police funding and to protest the arrest and confinement of a black man who was dancing in the street as part of his exercise routine. In downtown San Jose yesterday, two separate protests were held near the library and then the main jail. In San Francisco, skateboarders gathered at an event called Bomb Hills for Black Lives Matter, calling to defund the police. They rode from the city's second highest point down to the foot of the bay. In Los Angeles, California, there have now been 2 weeks straight of protests in downtown and at least 10 other areas of the city. Protests have been relatively peaceful since the National Lawyers Guild sued the LAPD over the use of force at protests. In Oakland, California, on Wednesday, June 10th, hundreds of demonstrators rallied in front of the Oakland mayor's home to demand she defund the police. Yesterday, civil rights attorneys from the National Lawyers Guild filed a federal lawsuit calling for the city to ban things like tear gas and rubber bullets against the protesters. The lawsuit also calls for damages for people injured by police in protest the previous weekend. In Orlando, Florida, today, June 12th, marks the fourth anniversary of the Pulse nightclub shooting. 49 people were murdered by a gunman during a popular Latin night at the club, and protesters plan to memorialize those lost by amplifying Black and Latinx LGBTQA+ voices. In St. Petersburg, Florida, on now the 13th day of protests, marchers braved a 90-plus degree heat index in the afternoon and torrential downpour in the evening. Both marches went through downtown and surrounding neighborhoods. Police presence continues to remain low. In Atlanta, Georgia, large crowds marched downtown calling for the closure of the Atlanta Detention Center. Hundreds gathered for a midnight march through Inman Park, Atlanta's first planned neighborhood. Police presence was heavy. Two more Atlanta police officers have been fired for use of excessive force for tasing two college students during protests last month. In Fort Wayne, Indiana, the People's Movement announced plans to hold a 3-day Black Lives Matter rally and protest downtown in front of the county courthouse over Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. City council members, community leaders, and pastors will be scheduled speakers. The protest is self-described as being not just against police brutality, but against the system that allows it. In Chicago, Illinois, on Monday, June 8th, members of the Cook County Public Defender's Office marched around the perimeter of the Cook County Jail to protest racial injustice and police brutality, and multiple peaceful protests have continued throughout the city every day. In Indianapolis, Indiana, Thursday night, protests in the neighboring Avon, Perry Township, and Brownsburg had attendance of around 500, 60, and several hundred. The Perry Township March was organized by two recent high school graduates. In Lexington, Kentucky, protests continued for the 14th consecutive day. At night, protesters marched to the intersection where Dazon Morgan was killed in a motorcycle accident earlier this week and set up a memorial. In Louisville, Kentucky, all 26 members of the Louisville Metro Council voted to pass a ban on no-knock warrants, a measure known as Breonna's Law. The ordinance still needs to be approved by the mayor and would ban any search warrant that does not require police to announce themselves and their purpose at the premises. It requires any Louisville Metro Police Department or Metro Law Enforcement to knock and wait at least 15 seconds for a response. Several other protests have occurred over the day. On Wednesday, hundreds of protesters took to the streets near City Hall and downtown, marching across the city demanding more social programs and decreased police funding. funding. On Thursday, protests were held around the city. Healthcare workers at Boston Medical Center took a knee for 8 minutes and 46 seconds of silence. Boston police have updated their use of force policy in response to the protest. Chokeholds and strangleholds are now banned. The police department announced officers are now required to give verbal warnings before they use deadly force, and that officers need to stop one another from using excessive force. Additionally, incident reporting will be more comprehensive. The reforms are based on Campaign Zero's 8 Can't Wait policies, which have been widely criticized as insufficient by abolitionist organizers. In Jackson, Mississippi, last weekend on Saturday, June 6th, a scheduled march was anticipated to have about 400 protesters in attendance outside the governor's mansion. Approximately 4,000 people turned out, which some have speculated to be the largest demonstration in Mississippi since the Freedom Summer of 1964. Black Lives Matter and Mississippi's Poor People's Campaign worked together, with Poor People's Campaign kicking off the weekend by attempting to deliver a letter requesting evidence that led to the Attorney General's twice dismissing charges against former Columbus police officer Canyon Boykin in the 2015 murder of Ricky Ball. Mississippi groups are asking the mayor of Petal, Mississippi to resign after his comments sparked national attention after the death of George Floyd. The mayor said, among other things, that if Floyd could say he couldn't breathe, then that means he could breathe. The nearby town of Hattiesburg, which is 45% Black, has seen protests every day for the past 2 weeks at City Hall, calling for the mayor's resignation. Finally, the fight to change the Mississippi state flag, which features a Confederate flag where the stars would be on the American flag, has new life breathed into it. Voter suppression and gerrymandering has prevented movement on the state flag issue until now. Last weekend, additional protests were held in Starkville, Gulfport, and Oxford, with hundreds more in attendance. On Monday, June 8th, hundreds of Black Lives Matter students protested at the Medgar Evers College, calling for the resignation of the college's president, Mr. Rudolph Cruz. Medgar Evers College was born out of the protest movement of the 1960s and named after the Black civil rights leader. At a college with predominantly Black students, many feel that Cruz's performance is letting students down and bringing down the institutional value of the college. In Concord, New Hampshire, 1,000 to 2,000 people participated in a march to the State House last Saturday, June 6. Along the march route, protesters stopped in front of the police station and took a knee for about 30 seconds. Several police officers near the entrance were asked to take a knee with them, but refused. The crowds were chanting, "Take a knee," and quickly switched to, "We won't forget this," amid boos. Hundreds of people showed up to other protests in Manchester and around the state. In Conway, New Hampshire, protests have been held on Saturday and Monday this past week, with 300 to 500 people in attendance for each. Another protest in Conway is scheduled for this Sunday, June 14th. In New York City, protesters engaged in several decentralized actions throughout the city. A march traveled from Harlem to downtown Manhattan. Activists dripped red paint along the route to represent the blood of Black people killed or maimed as a result of racism and police violence. For the 15th night, a protest vigil was held in McCarran Park. Other marches with 1,000 people each gathered across the city, including in Washington Square Park in Manhattan and Crown Heights and Bed-Stuy in Brooklyn. News has surfaced that a person arrested at a protest last week in the Bronx was held in jail for more than 1 week, charged with violating the 8 p.m. curfew. During the uprising, activists and residents have continued to engage in mutual aid, offering shelter, free meals, free rides home, hydration, jail support, and medical care. Mayor Bill de Blasio maintained support for the NYPD, despite the fact that his own biracial child, Kiara, was arrested and then doxxed by the NYPD after having been part of a protest. In Schenectady, New York, several hundred people marched to the police headquarters to present demands to remake the city's police system. Meanwhile, in neighboring Albany, the mayor announced the removal of a statue of Philip Schuler from the front of City Hall. Schuler was the area's largest enslaver of people, and activists have been calling for the removal of the statue for years. Small Black Lives Matter vigils are popping up every day in surrounding rural towns that have never seen protests before. In Charlotte, North Carolina, between 100 and 200 people gathered Wednesday for a protest calling for decreased police funding. Later that night, a small group of about 25 people blocked traffic on the I-277, quickly moving construction barrels and other barricades to block traffic. When police arrived, the group scattered, though five arrests were made. Last Friday, a representative from Queen City Unity shared an email on Facebook from CPI Security CEO Ken Gill that said, "Please spend your time in a more productive way. A better use of time would be to focus on black-on-black crime." The comments caused a backlash of protest, which included the YMCA of Greater Charlotte announcing Tuesday it would not name a new facility after Gill and offered to return funds they had received from his family. The North Carolina Panthers were the first to end their relationship with CPI Security on Saturday, followed by North Carolina State, South Carolina, and the Hornets. In Eugene, Oregon, protesters gathered in a park in the Blair area of the city and held a small rally and march to honor Tamir Rice and Trayvon Martin. In Cincinnati, Ohio, over 500 people attended a protest in the suburb of Blue Ash, which included a car and bike caravan. In Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, Thursday marked the 13th consecutive day of protests. More than two dozen Philly labor groups are pushing for a whistleblower protection bill during the pandemic. This follows a June 9th demonstration led by Philly sanitation workers calling for PPE and hazard pay. They were threatened with termination for attending the protest with, quote, unauthorized absences. They say that when workers fear speaking up about unsafe coronavirus conditions, it puts the whole city at risk. The encampment in front of the Art Museum for Unhoused Folks continues into its second day, now with approximately 25 tents. Also, about 150 Black Lives Matter protesters and 25 cars shut down the intersection in front of City Hall in the midst of a rainstorm. In Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, Thursday marked the 13th day of protest in the region, with hundreds of people showing up for a one-mile march from Dormont to Jefferson Drive in Mount Lebanon and back. Police were present, but no arrests or altercations were reported. In Charleston, South Carolina, attorneys partnered with protesters downtown in an event called Attorneys for Justice, which is an acronym for Jurisprudence United and Standing Together for Impartiality, Compassion, and Equality. The goal was to address the system causing institutionalized racism and unequal treatment and included a focus on policies and laws. In Austin, Texas, protesters gathered at a hashtag Wakey Wakey morning protest, part of a series of upcoming disruptions toward defunding the police. The city council unanimously approved a set of measures meant to limit police officers' use of force, which included restrictions on use of deadly force and a ban on using, quote, less lethal munitions during protests. The council also directed the city manager to propose reductions to the police department's budget next year. One of the resolutions unanimously passed also said the council had no confidence that police officials intended to implement the changes that would end violence disproportionately used against people of color and low-income residents. In Houston, Texas, the city council increased its police budget Wednesday from $945 million last year to $964 million for the upcoming fiscal year. That came after the failure of Councilmember Letitia Plumer's amendment that aimed to redistribute some of the money to other areas, including mental health programs and loans for businesses owned by people of color. The vote came after Mayor Sylvester Turner announced that he will be launching a task force focusing on police accountability and transparency. In Salt Lake City, Utah, a rally was held by roller skaters, skateboards, and cyclists that started at Liberty Park and ended at the City County Building. thousands showed up at the rally, which had speakers and an 8-minute and 49-second moment of silence in which protesters laid on the ground. Police presence was minimal as they only blocked off adjacent streets to the skate march. No arrests, major injuries, or deaths to report. Salt Lake City has seen protests at the Capitol for 12 days consecutively with no arrests, injuries, or deaths. Salt Lake is still considering defunding the police and reallocating $3 million to fund social service programs. In Seattle, Washington, CHAZ, or the Capitol Hill Autonomous Zone, continues to be a resource for mutual aid, education, and information. With now daily public meetings, in the morning hours, the police chief entered for a press conference and deflected responsibility for their use of violent tactics. He also has spread rumors that activists are extorting businesses despite that many are openly supporting the protests. A general strike and protest is scheduled for Friday, organized by Seattle King County Black Lives Matter. In Tacoma, Washington, a woman was arrested on 5 federal counts of arson for allegedly setting fire to 5 patrol vehicles during the downtown protest of May 30th. She faces up to 10 years in prison if convicted. In Parkersburg, West Virginia, there was a 3%er presence at rallies last week. Across the river in Marietta, Ohio, last weekend, there was a non-Black Lives Matter-affiliated rally where 3%ers inserted themselves as, quote, security. This is being taken very seriously. The community was distraught over the appearance of 3%ers as they have erroneously claimed that they were invited as security and have been calling in, quote, tips to the police of, quote, outside agitators being bussed in. If you have any information regarding the 3%ers or other hate groups in the Parkersburg area, please text or leave a voicemail at 304-810-2670. In Preston County, West Virginia, St. Sebastian Catholic Church held a noon vigil and service about the pastor's experiences with Martin Luther King Jr. and the important role of civil disobedience. In other areas across West Virginia, Black Lives Matter West Virginia and the Movement for Black Lives concluded day 4 of their week of action for community control. Due to the current organizing structure and the networks of West Virginia, the organizers are urging solidarity actions. For Friday, the focus will be on End the War Against Black People with an online midday rally. That's the recap for June 11th. For transcripts of the episode plus an interactive map, go to uprisedaily.com. If you found this episode helpful, please consider sharing to help spread the word. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Until then, stay safe and power to the people.